So thank you all very much for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we're going to continue with the seventh canto, chapter 15, text 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yatha vartadayo yartha. Yatha vartadayo yartha. Yogas yartham nabhibhrati. Anarthaya bhave yusma. Purtam ishtam tatha sataha. Yatha vartadayo yartha. Yogas yartham nabhibhrati. Anarthaya bhave yusma. Purtam istam tatha sataha. Yatha vartadayo yartha. Yogas yartham nabhibhrati. Anarthaya bhave yusma. Purtam ishtam tatha sataha. Matajis. Yatha vartadayo yartha. Yogyasyartham nabhibhrati. Anarthaya bhave yusma. Purtam ishtam tatha sataha. Matajis. Yatha vartadayo yartha. Yogasyartham nabhibhrati. Anarthaya bhave yusma. Purtam ishtam tatha sataha. Okay, word meanings. Yata, as. Varta adayaha, activities like occupational or professional duties. He certainly. Artaha, income from such occupational duties. Yogasya, of mystic power for self-realization. Artam, benefit. Na, not. Bibhrati, help. Anarthaya, without value. Binding one to repeated birth and death. Bhave yuhu, they are. Sma, at all times. Purtam, ishtam, ritualistic Vedic ceremonies. Tata, similarly. Asataha, of a materialistic non-devotee. Translation. As professional activities or business profits cannot help one in spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So please repeat. As professional activities or business profits cannot help one in spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport. If one becomes very rich through his professional activities, through trade or through agriculture, this does not mean that he is spiritually advanced. To be spiritually advanced is different from being materially rich. Although the purpose of life is to become spiritually rich, unfortunate men, misguided as they are always engaged in trying to become materially rich. Such material engagements, however, do not help one in the actual fulfillment of the human mission. On the contrary, material engagements lead one to become attracted to many unnecessary necessities, which are accompanied by the risk that one may be born in a degraded condition. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:18, Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vrittista adho gacchanti tamasaha. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upwards to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. Especially in Kali Yuga, material advancement means degradation and attraction to many unwanted necessities that create a low mentality. Therefore, jaganya guna vrittistha, since people are contaminated by the lower qualities, they will lead their next lives either as animals or in other degraded forms of life. Making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in the estimation of unintelligent men. But factually, such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all. It will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. Once again, the translation, as professional activities or business profits cannot help one in spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanti Midandhasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Minatasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyata Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagaragratanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvayetam Savadhutam Prajna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sandho Dinabandhu Jagatpite Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Dadhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadidu Bhyashcha Kripa Sandhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanityananda Shed Baita Gradhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here in today's verse and purport, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the topic of wealth, money, material acquisition. So this is a very important topic, especially in relationship to our spiritual life. How do we see it? How do we understand it? What should be our perspective? Well, Prabhupada, the basis of this verse and purport is that the purpose of the human form of life is to make spiritual advancement, to acquire spiritual wealth, right? So first we have to understand that. If we can understand that the basis of human life, or the purpose of this particular body we have, this time that we have, is to make spiritual advancement, then everything else will kind of fall into place. So we see that in this purport, Prabhupada makes about 5 different points. So I'm going to kind of go through these points slowly, and we'll talk about them. The first point Prabhupada makes, and he says here in the purport, let me get my notes here. He says in the purport, if one becomes very rich through his personal activities, through trade or through agriculture, This does not mean that he is spiritually advanced. To be spiritually advanced is different from being materially rich. So Prabhupada, the first thing he does is clearly make a distinction between the material path of money acquisition, wealth acquisition, facilities, and the spiritual path. So the first thing we have to do is see that they are indeed separate. It's important to make this distinction. It may seem like common sense. Like, what's the big deal? You know, why does Prabhupada take time to point out that the path of making money? Now, we're not talking about making money in Krishna service or using money for worship of the deities or maintenance of one's family in Krishna service. We're specifically talking about the path of material acquisition, just materially speaking. You just have faith in that you want money and you want material things and you're going to work very hard at your job to get those things, right? So why distinguish that from spiritual life? Well, there's a couple different perspectives here. One is that as devotees trying to practice sadhana bhakti, we should really see these distinctions. They should be very clear in our mind. That way we know what is devotional service and what is not. We should clearly understand that. This is a great temptation in spiritual life, especially as devotees living simply. There's an urge to make money sometimes. There's an urge to get a, you know, some sort of job and just work very hard and try to acquire material things. You know, and so if we can clearly understand that this is not devotional service, we can, when those urges, when those temptations, those desires, those influences, when they arise, we can understand that it's a deviation. We can see that and check it. Does that make sense? Just like Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, vyavasatmeka buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hinantascha buddhava vyavasayanam, that it's just like a bonsai tree. You know, has anybody ever seen bonsai trees? They're somewhat popular a few years back. So you have it without trimming. The bonsai tree is basically just like a wild bush, right? But if you know what you're doing, you can trim it in a way that it grows. Say, for example, you want it to grow directly up. It'll put all its energies into climbing vertically, or however you want to sculpt it. So similarly, we should sculpt ourselves according to the order of the spiritual master. What he's given, we should use our intelligence and trim our life in such a way that we can grow towards accomplishing those orders, those goals. Yeah? And without that, bahu shakta hyanantascha, we branch out, our energy becomes branched out in many different directions, and we sort of lose the purpose of life. So therefore, we have to use our intelligence to clearly see what is proper and improper path and trim those branches as soon as they arise. Does that make sense? So therefore, Prabhupada's pointing out that, you know, there is the spiritual path of spiritual advancement, and then there's material acquisition, and they're not the same path, right? Another thing that we are thinking is that this is especially important for those of us born in America. There's, I don't know if anybody, maybe in college, you've read this book, The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism, by Weber, Max Weber. So anyway, there he's pointing out that the sort of in Western civilization, the basis of capitalism, something called the Protestant ethic or work ethic. And it's basically the idea that if you have your job and you work very hard at your job, especially if you came from poverty or a simple background, and you sort of raised yourself up by your bootstraps and you didn't take help from anyone, right? What's that Frank Sinatra song, you know, I did it my way, right? And you sort of, by your own power, by your own force, you acquired material things. You became wealthy in some way. You've got fame, power, prestige, by your own hard work, honest hard work, right? You see like the, what's that one painting, American Gothic, you know, you've got the American farmer there with his pitchfork and there's his daughter or whatever's right next to him. It's kind of good, solid work and material acquisition. And the idea is that this is religion, this is religious piety, this is actual pleasing to God. This is God, these are God's people, right? The salt of the earth. So here in this Bhagavatam verse, it's more or less condemning that mentality, that material acquisition is spiritual advancement, or it is, as it says here, the Sanskrit, yoga, yogasya artha, right? It is spiritual wealth. Rather, it's making a clear distinction. So as devotees, we have to understand, kind of we can look within ourselves and see if we are bringing that mentality from our conditioned nature into devotional service, right? I know, like, for example, myself, my mother's side of the family is, come from a Protestant background, and they very much have this mentality. Never take any help from anyone, never take any charity, you have to do it yourself, right? Be a self-made man and try to build yourself materially. And there's an incredible amount of pressure to do that. So this actually, especially in American life or American culture, particularly like in the conservative side, this is a very essential creed, that religious piety is material acquisition and self-reliance and these other kind of qualities, right? So as devotees, we have to understand and don't let that interfere with our devotional service, right? Separate that out. Another instruction that Prabhupada says here, points out in the purport, is that most people, we have these two different paths. You know, one is going towards Krishna and one is towards material acquisition. And so most people are on the path of material acquisition. Prabhupada says in the purport, although the purpose of life is to become spiritually rich, unfortunate men, misguided as they are always engaged in trying to become materially rich. So this is, you know, when generally devotees, we refer to such people as karmis, right? It's basically somebody who 24 hours a day, all of their life energy is just devoted to working hard and making money. That's referred to in the verse as vartadeo, right? Hi artha, that they're trying to make artha by varta, which as Prabhupada translates as activities like occupational or professional duties. So the entire world is like this. Devotees, we should recognize very clearly that we're going against the grain. It's not going to be easy, right? The entire world, like 99.9999%, is just, they have a tremendous faith that material acquisition is the goal of life, right? And that, you should work very hard and make lots of money, and that's proper behavior. And that spiritual life or spiritual acquisition, the practice of yoga, even bhakti yoga, is a waste of time. It's actually just an illusion, you know? It's all in your mind. You're sort of hypnotized by some kind of religion, and you're wasting your time. You know, you should be out making money, right? What's your problem? Why are you wasting your life? You know, and so, whereas devotees, we have a totally different faith. Our faith coming, you know, believing, understanding the words of Krishna and the spiritual master. We understand that this path, that the goal of life is not material acquisition. The goal of life is spiritual acquisition, advancement towards going back to Godhead and attaining love of Krishna. And so because we have that faith, a different faith, we see the world completely differently. And we look at their activities as being useless or temporary, illusory, ultimately based on illusion. So we really are going in the opposite direction. It's like if you have a river flowing in one direction, if anyone ever been in like a mountain river, and you try to swim against it, it's very easy to get pulled in the opposite direction. Therefore, one's faith has to be strong enough to swim against the current. You see? So that's the idea here. And gradually, as we make spiritual advancement, especially as we chant Hare Krishna, it's kind of like if you see this beautiful hundi box here in front of Rukmini Dwarkadish, people come and they put bills and coins and things like that. So whenever we chant our japa, you can think about each time you hear the mantra attentively, each time you hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Each time you focus on that and hear that very nicely, it enters clearly. That is one coin in the hundi box of your spiritual wealth. You know? You're building up your spiritual wealth, right? And so the devotees, they focus all their time and energy in that particular pursuit. So now another point that Prabhupada makes in the purport is that not only are these paths separate, not only is it that most people are going in the wrong direction, but the path of materialistic acquisition, it can't help you in your spiritual life. Not only is it a separate path, but it actually has no benefit spiritually. It's not an assistant. It doesn't prop up your devotional service. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada says in the purport, such material engagements, however, do not help one in the actual fulfillment of the human mission. Mm. So someone might object, can't, as devotees, can't we make money? And yes, you can. Devotees, of course, you know, we have Govindas, we have the restaurant and gift store, and we're using the Lakshmi to support the preaching of Krishna consciousness, especially book distribution, Harinam, Prasadam. We're using the Lakshmi for the worship of the deities. One may also have a job. One may make money and use it to support their home, seeing that their family belongs to Krishna. Their families are Krishna's servants, and that we're supporting that. That's all right. But one should be very cautious. That's the point. It's a razor's edge. It's just like two train tracks, you know, the parallel tracks. So you can tie material wealth acquisition to the service of Krishna, and that's fine as long as, you know, you have those railroad ties that keep the tracks straight. But as soon as one of the paths starts to deviate, as soon as wealth acquisition becomes for your sense gratification, now you're in trouble, right? You're gonna derail. In fact, it may just start out as a slight little change in consciousness in the beginning, but gradually, as time goes on, that path is getting further and further away, you see? So you have to keep it tied very closely to one's spiritual life through consciousness, by having the right spiritual understanding of your activities, as in a sense, doing them for Krishna. Otherwise, in just a short period of time, you'll find yourself very far from devotional service. You'll find yourself very far from the order of the spiritual master, basically. So it's a razor's edge. It's a very, very fine line. So we should understand that, you know, this should become clear to us. Another, in fact, many devotees make this point that they've heard many devotees over the years say, you know, see you later, I'll be back after I make my first million, right? And then you never see them again. So it's a typical temptation that, okay, you know, I'm just going to drop devotional service for now, and I'm just going to focus on making money, because to do it, you know, you have to forget Krishna. You have to dive into it. You have to put all of your energy into your job and just accumulate as much as possible. And then in the end, you know, then I'll come back and I'll use it for Krishna. So that's not actually going to help us. That's a very dangerous idea, okay? So another instruction here is that not only does it not support our devotional service, as we've been mentioning, but it's actually very dangerous to our devotional service. To acquire lots and lots of money and lots of facility for the devotees, it can be very, very dangerous. Okay? Prabhupada says here in the purport, on the contrary, material engagements lead one to be attracted to many unnecessary necessities, which are accompanied by the risk that one may be born in a degraded condition. Then he quotes the Bhagavad Gita, especially in that, you know, urdvam gachanti sattvasta. Then he says, especially in this Kali Yuga, material advancement means degradation and attraction to many unwanted necessities that create a low mentality. And this is also pointed out in the verse. In the third line, it says, anartaya bhaveyu sma. So this means, you know, yata varta dayo yarta. So just as the money, the wealth that you're getting from your varta, from your job and things like that, it doesn't give you spiritual wealth, yogas yartam. So not only that, but it actually creates obstacles to your spiritual wealth. Anartaya bhaveyu sma. So not only does it not help us, but it also creates obstacles in our spiritual life. And so Prabhupada is explaining why, because it increases your anartas. The more that you get wealth and things like that, the more you begin to acquire, or you might say, when our heart is filled with material desires, then we exercise those desires. It's like analena duspadena lalena cha, right? The duspadena analena cha. The fire of lust can never be satisfied. The more fuel that you pour on it, the more dangerous and humongous the fire becomes. So in the same way, for a materialistic person, having all of this material wealth is kind of like having gasoline, you know, right next to a fire, right? The tendency is it feeds one's flames. And as Prabhupada's pointing out here in Kali Yuga, the wood that is being burned is all sinful. All of the activities that we engage in is generally based on illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. You'll see this, especially here, we live in Los Angeles. This is the big celebrity place, right? And you'll see that many of these celebrities, they become musicians and things like that. They're just regular people, right? They live in trailer park or something in Alabama or something. And then they become, you know, a famous musician. And then the next thing you know, they're constantly in the headlines because they're like an asteroid, you know, hitting the atmosphere and burning up, right? And shooting across the sky. In many ways, they're glorified by this, you know. Boulevard of Broken Dreams. You have, you know, Elvis is there with Jimi Hendrix, you know, and they're having a beer or whatever, right? And they're seen as great heroes, you know, who magnificently shot across the sky and burned into ashes for all of our pleasure, right? So it's because of these anartas. Once somebody whose heart is filled with anartas comes across wealth, it's combustible. And generally it takes place in the form of sinful activities, and therefore everyone is driven down into lower forms of life. As Prabhupada mentions here, therefore, jaganya gunavrittista, since people are contaminated by the lower qualities, they will lead their next lives either as animals or in other degraded forms of life. So the result of this behavior is you're driven downward. And you even lose this human form of life. Not only do you not attain yogasya artha, you don't obtain the wealth of spiritual practice, but you actually lose the form of life meant for acquiring that altogether. Okay? So it's very dangerous, kind of like you fell out the bottom, you know? You lost your opportunity. We see that this is also very common. A lot of people, they win the lottery, you know, and then very quickly they spend it all on intoxication and things like that. Or another famous group of like athletes, like you have famous basketball players and things like that. You know, they're infamous for getting millions and millions of dollars very quickly and then spending them in the most self-destructive ways, losing it all, right? So that's not the bad part. The bad part is that what's going to happen to them in the future from performing all those sinful activities, right? So as devotees, we have to see beyond simply what is visible. You have to understand the law of karma and that these things have an effect. Using wealth in a destructive way, it has a very terrible effect for the conditioned soul. And then finally, we have the last sort of instruction here in this purport, is that you see, in the same way that this wealth acquisition is not beneficial for devotional service, but it actually creates obstacles. In the same way, cheating religion is just as destructive. It's not actually helpful at all to one's real spiritual advancement. It actually creates obstacles on your path. Okay? As it says here in the purport, purtam ishtam tatasataha. So the religion, as Prabhupada says, the Vedic ritualistic activities of the... cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of the asataha, right? Those who are asat, they have the same effect as material wealth acquisition. They're just as useless and dangerous. So this actually brings to mind this verse from the second. It's actually only the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Projitakaita Bhotra, Paramo Nimatsadam Satam, right? So the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's kicking out these cheating religions, the Dharma Projita, of those who are asat, right? Those who are, as it mentions here, tatasataha. One of the, you might say, activities within the Bhagavatam is to clarify what is real Dharma. It's like, for example, when you make ghee, has anyone ever made ghee before? And you cook it, and then gradually the impurities separate from the ghee, you know. And then you strain out the impurities, and you have pure ghee. So Bhagavatam, by attacking the dharma of the asat, it's actually purifying our own understanding of what is devotional service. It's clearing out all of these impurities so that we're left with pure ghee. So what is this dharma of the asat that is being attacked? Well, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in the estimation of unintelligent men, but factually, such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all. It will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. So as it says here, basically making a show of religion. This is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as Damba Yajna, right? That one will perform a sacrifice in name only. It's basically an external show of religion. You may be a good Hindu, pious Hindu, or pious Christian, or Muslim, or whatever it may be, but it's all on the external platform. Your goal is not to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You really could care less. And you're not even trying to make spiritual advancement. It's just a public show. You'll see a lot of politicians do this, especially around election time. You know, they all visit the church, right? All of a sudden, they're all very good Christians. And they all visit the church, and they don't really care, you know. They're not really praying, you know, for spiritual advancement or trying to please God. They simply want to show everyone, look at how I go through all the rituals. Look how I do everything, you know, very nicely. And then ignorant people appreciate this. They become all teary-eyed. Oh, my gosh, the president's here in my church, you know. So this is not actually spiritual advancement. It's actually, if we take that mentality ourselves, then, you know, which is very easy to do, we're not, in other words, you some time in Krishna consciousness, you may find yourself not really into serving Krishna, or surrendering to Krishna, but you're going to go through the motions anyway, at least externally. So that's a kind of dangerous position we can put ourselves in, you know, if you don't rectify that and sincerely take up trying to please Krishna again. As is being pointed out here, it's dangerous just like material wealth acquisition is dangerous. And so we have to carefully avoid this kind of show bottle religion. Everyone knows Prabhupada uses that word show bottle. Some of my family members, they used to be pharmacists, like actually medicine makers, doctors who made medicines. And so we would, you know, my family had all these show bottles that we kept around our house as decorations, right? It's basically like a big glass jar, and inside you have water with food coloring in it, you know, and they would keep these in the front of the pharmacies, and it's supposed to look like medicine, but it's not actually medicine, it's just water, in case you were confused. So that, in the same way, show bottle religion means that you have the external vision, or you look like a devotee, but internally there's nothing there. It's not real. Okay, so we have to very carefully avoid that. So today's verse in conclusion is basically warning us to avoid practicing show bottle religion, and that it's just as bad as being a materialistic person, a karmi, who is endeavoring, foaming, frothing at the mouth to make money. And that money and that show bottle religion, not only do they not help you to make real spiritual advancement, not only do they not help you to develop spiritual wealth, which is the real goal of human life, but they actually throw obstacles onto your path. Okay? So thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? No? Yes, Prabhu?
Then going about doing some services, sometimes it caught in my head and I'm not thinking about Krishna, or I'm thinking about, like, even sometimes when I'm doing my japas, I think like, oh, I have like 4 more, or I have 12 more, you know, and I kind of get caught up in my head, and then I sort of have to bring myself back to Krishna, but then I don't really know, I guess I don't really know exactly how I'm supposed to be thinking of Krishna in a way. I don't know. I guess I don't really know what this question is either.
Jai. So yeah, it's this endeavor to try to remember Krishna as you're doing service to Krishna and things like that. That's very good. That you're doing the right thing. Worrying about this and asking this question, at least you can know that means that you have a desire to remember Krishna and you're trying to figure out how. Right? So that's very good. And you know, there's many different ways to remember Krishna. Of course, one can hear and chant Krishna's name, fame, glories, pastimes. Also, just doing the service itself and remembering that it's for Krishna, that's also remembrance of Krishna. Archita Prabhu, you wanted to say something?
Concentrate on service.
Yeah, so I am...
We
Yeah. Okay, because that's one of my issues is that I really enjoy doing the work and really find myself like wanting to strive really hard, and I do it for Krishna, but then I also question myself because I have a really strong ego or a false ego, and I'm wondering, am I just pleasing myself? You know, am I doing this because I want to gratify myself thinking I'm a hard worker, or do I really, really feel like I'm doing this for the sake of Krishna?
Again, you know, by questioning that, you're trying to make a proper distinction about what's the proper and improper mentality. Right? So just keep questioning that, keep trying to understand what is my motivation, you know, and at the same time practice Krishna consciousness and move towards the proper motivation. Okay? Anything else? Yes, Prabhu?
I believe, like, when you like know of Krishna consciousness, you know that happiness and sorrow is going to come regardless of what you do. Krishna will take over if you surrender. But so as far as like acquiring wealth in that aspect, like should a devotee try to steer clear from like try to avoid situations in which like a sum of wealth will come to him if in that case, or should he like accept it as it's coming if it's supposed to come regardless?
Okay, thank you. That's a very good question. So as what's being pointed out here in the purport is this is one should be very careful. In other words, if wealth comes to you, you should use it in Krishna's service, but use it carefully. It's like, for example, of course, you know, I work in a kitchen, so I have these kitchen examples. But if you're handling something hot, what do you use? You just pick it up with your bare hands? Yeah, is it okay? You just grab the boiling water or whatever and just, you know. No, you wear gloves, right? You protect yourself. So you protect yourself by being conscious and using it for Krishna. That's how you protect yourself, okay? You just understand that this is hot, right? And therefore, I'm going to have to be very careful with this. And don't be reckless, because as soon as you're reckless, as soon as you're not paying attention, you'll burn yourself. Now, for a very advanced devotee, Krishna can shower them with unlimited wealth. We see Srila Prabhupada, people would ask Prabhupada, you know, and he mentions, I have so many homes, right? These temples are my homes all over the world. And Prabhupada would oftentimes, especially in India, talk about the lakhs of rupees that are coming every day. So Prabhupada is extremely wealthy, not just spiritually, which is enormous, you know, incalculable, but even materially, there was so much there that Krishna gave him for his service. But he gave them that because Prabhupada would never misuse it, not even one cent. We're a little different, right? We have no problem misusing a cent. What to speak of many more. So therefore, Krishna generally keeps it from us. Krishna generally keeps devotees very simple because if we do develop wealth, we have a tendency to misuse it. So when we do see it, and we do, it does come into our possession, either, as you said, or also in our service. Sometimes we may have wealth come to us for our service. We should be very, very careful to use it properly. What's the Bhagavatam verse that from whatever artha comes by dharma, you should be very careful to use it? Does anyone know that verse? I don't know it off the top of my head. But the warning is very clearly. Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, so it's mentioning there that it also attributes to anartha, isn't it?
Dharma sihi apavargas, yeah? So dharma is not meant for, is ultimately meant for liberation. It should never be used just for sense gratification. And for those who are engaged in the activities of economic development, It should only be utilized for devotional service.
Thank you very much. Is that all right, Prabhu? Yes? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.